Such a marvelous, I mean, the beauty of God's creation is such a great thing to see, the snow. So anyway, let's all stand. We'll start off with our theme verse. It's our missions month, missions emphasis. And so let's say our theme verse together. John 4:35, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are ripe already to harvest. Turn over to 540 in your hymn book. 540, we've a story to tell to the nations. Yes, we do. 540.
Clang over there. It's my instrument. No, I don't think I put it very securely there. We do have a story to tell to the nation, and the Bible calls that story good news. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Father because of the Son. Dear Father, Lord, we come before you today reminding ourselves with this missions emphasis month of the very purpose and the heart that drives everything that you do, why you have sent your Son, why he was willing to go, and the love that was in your heart for us, but ultimately to demonstrate that love to us so that we might glorify you and rejoice in you and trust in you and to have a relationship with you eternally. And so, Father, may we fulfill our purpose and carry on the work that Christ began to do and to teach. May we proclaim this gospel to this world. And Father, we just ask for anointing of your Holy Spirit, because we cannot accomplish this great task, the The obstacles are too big. The canvas is too vast. And yet, what you can do through the power of the gospel with one person, one yielded soul to you, Lord, we bow in faith to you that you would use us as a people in this place to proclaim and further the name of Jesus Christ, even through this service, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. I want to welcome you to the service today. And boy, it sure is so nice to see so many folks here today. Last week was kind of tough, but we're glad that you were safe and that the Lord has brought us back together again. And I just want to go over some announcements. Some things have been changed a little bit from what we were anticipating doing because of the storm. So we'll just make some adjustments and keep on moving. So our church business meeting for 2025 will go over everything from 2024. So it'll be an annual report of our finances and then also approving a budget and our nomination of officers that are posted here for you as well as in the back. And so we'll have those votes this evening. After the service, we're really looking forward to the evening service. We have our missionaries, the Davises, not for too much longer, but they're here for a couple more days, and thankful that the Lord gave some flexibility there because they weren't feeling the greatest last week. So, but they'll be able to present what the Lord was able to accomplish and bring glory to His name. So this is always a rejoicing service, and look forward to Brother Dan speaking this evening. And we'll take a love offering for them and to further them in the work of the Lord as well. A few announcements. I forgot to mention Sunday school. There are a few things on the back table. We do have some additional, some of the Bible reading plans were just completely taken up, and so we underestimated how popular they would be. So if you missed out on something you wanted to, we have replenished those. And I know it's a few days late, but you're going to be late running behind anyway, so go ahead and get started and just follow a plan. Keep reading the Bible day by day, and God will bless you. And so we've got some plans there. I do have some books on the back table if you like VCY. There's a history of the radio station there and the nice color magazine type print, really exhaustive, so that the Russells have made that available to us. And then there's also a one-page survival, preparedness guide that Elsa's put together if you'd be interested in something like that, some tips for things that when the world goes sideways, some things that you can be prepared for. So she's put that together. So let's see here. Also, get back on track here with my announcements. Seeking the Summit is going to be on Tuesday, January the 23rd, and we're going to try to pack out Marsha's Deli there in town. So that'll be fun, and enjoy doing that together. Then also, as we look towards the end of the month, the last Sunday, we have our annual international potluck, and that's always a lot of fun. That'll be at 5 p.m., and if you want to bring something that has an international flair or tacos or something like that, but it's always a good time, good meal. We enjoyed that as our climactic service as we look towards our faith promise giving. Everything that we give towards missions in our church doesn't come out of a regular budget, but actually comes out of the sacrificial giving of you. So we do a faith promise to the Lord and ask the Lord, what does He want us to do in regards to missions? And we report that at the beginning of the year to help in terms of planning for taking on missionaries. And the Lord's been so faithful. And we've just been taking on missionaries and adding to us 5 new missionaries this past year. And so that's been exciting to see the Lord just put that burden upon your hearts and further the work of the Lord Jesus in the Great Commission. So if you're not a part of that, you haven't participated in that in some way, I encourage you to and to pray about it and see what the Lord would like for you to do and to further the cause of the gospel. Our missionary family that we pray for and this month will be Sean and Valerie Janung. And they are working up at a small church, Valley Baptist Church in Eureka, Montana. They are currently in the building process of a church plant. They're building a building, and they're looking towards this year possibly being able to call a young man to come and to take that congregation, about 60, 70 people. And so this is maybe looking like the final year for the Janungs of working in that ministry. And possibly they may stay on there, but they'll be the final year in terms of their current condition in which they're helping a church planter getting started. So continue to pray for them this week and for God's blessing to minister through them. And then our family of the week is Brenda Lawrence. So continue to pray for her. She has had a fall and then has surgery and has been having some difficulties and some struggles health-wise. I know that she would appreciate our prayers for her this week, and it comes at a good time in that regard. So we're singing to the Lord. You know, the Lord told us that, sing ye Gentiles. That's what God, Jesus Christ, came to do. He died so that we might sing praises to his name. And so we get to lift up our voices as one, in one accord, with and to praise his name, to bring delight to his heart.
So we're going to lift high the cross. Let's all stand and turn to page 533 and sing, "Lift High the Cross, the Love of Christ Proclaim." Your Bibles with you this morning, if you would, open to Romans chapter 1 today. Romans chapter 1, we'll begin reading verse 14 for today's scripture reading. "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to Jew first and also to the Greek." And may God bless your name's word this morning. You may be seated. And this time we're going to go to our Lord in prayer. Thank you.
That ought to be our prayer. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And God wants us to do that. Have people upon our hearts and our minds who are praying for it and asking for God to use us. We're going to take up an offering here, and part of what we're doing here is the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ here in our Jerusalem and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I'm going to ask Brother Dan Davis, we're so glad you guys are here. Would you mind praying for offering here today?
Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we are just so thankful and grateful to know you. Thank you that you have put us in the ministry. Father, that you found us faithful to carry the message of the gospel. Father, here in Bourbon County and to the uttermost parts of the world, Lord, may we constantly look to you as our source of strength, Father, and as our source of anointing, and as the source of all goodness, Father. It all comes from you. You are the Father of life, and you're pure light. And Father, it's the light of the glorious gospel, your gospel, that will change hearts and lives. So help us to be faithful to proclaim the gospel. Use this offering, Father, to further the gospel throughout the whole world. And Father, we'll be careful to give you the thanks and the praise you deserve for it. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
mostly write notes anyway. Okay, take your hymnals and turn to page 531. 531, So Send I You. So send I you. Christ receiveth sinful men. 532. We'll ask you to stand on this last song before the message.
Thank you.
Turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Thank you so much. Beautiful truth. Beautifully sung. You know what gives us the courage to pray that prayer? Examine me, know my heart, know my thoughts, purify me, is to know that Christ receiveth sinful men. That what he finds is no surprise to him. And that he died to make provision for our sin. I want to tell you that you are blessed in Jesus' name. Because of Christ, you are blessed today. Praise the Lord. I guess at this point I should probably, I've got a preamble to the message, which is a preamble to the message. So anyway, I've been away from you a little while, so watch out. Here we go. But I should dismiss the children at this time. And just a reminder, the ages 3 through 3rd grade are welcome to be a part of our children's church. And of course, it's up to the discretion of parents as well. If you have a special need, if you want them to stay here or you want them to go back, that's fine. We leave that to you as a parent. So thankful for our little people and being taught the Word of God as we're being taught as well. So that is a blessing. I'm thankful for all those that are volunteering to be a part of that schedule. That's always one of those things. I wish I could be a part of the schedule, but I can't. So,
But maybe I should be. I don't switch places with somebody and be good. Last week's message was, I am a debtor. And we saw this from Romans chapter 1, and I take no credit whatsoever. This is an outline that just falls right out of the passage of Scripture. I didn't see it, but someone else pointed it out, and when I saw it, I said, man, that was probably 3 months ago. I said, that is going to be missions conference. That right there is what we need to hear. And so we looked at this first aspect, I am a debtor, in verse 14, which has the aspect that we are under obligation to God to give the gospel to other people. And we're under obligation. We owe every single person. It's not only because of what Christ has done for us, but because we have the message of good news and they're on their way. They're dying. We've got to tell them. And then we see this element that we read, especially Ezekiel chapter 33, that passage of Ezekiel being set as a watchman upon the wall. And as I was reading this past week in my Bible reading, I came across a few verses of Scripture that really did encourage me to say, you know what? What I preached this past week was true. Wow, man. There's always a little bit of sense of, I'm glad. I want to make sure that everything I'm saying is representing God, and I believe it's true that we, in our day, the New Testament age, ought to consider ourselves to be the watchman on the wall. Why? Because Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul says, I take record today that I am pure from the blood of all men. He uses the very same language. In fact, in chapter 18 earlier, he said, your blood be upon your own heads. That's the language of Ezekiel. And he says, I am clean. Why? Because he had proclaimed the gospel to them. And what did he do? Acts 20 tells us what he did. He says, you know what I did. That's what he's telling these Ephesians. He said, I showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I'm free from the blood of all men. He went house to house. He went publicly. He took every opportunity that he could to try to get the gospel to these people so that he could say, I have proclaimed it. And we ought to have that responsibility weighing down upon ourselves, that the people in this community, in that city, in this neighborhood, that we can say, our hands are clean. We have proclaimed the gospel to each and every house. We've gone and made an attempt to give them the good news of Jesus Christ. So that's a burden that we ought to have. So maybe you say, man, I am a debtor. I feel that burden. And you say, I'm a volunteer. Here we go. Raise my hand. I got to go. I've thrust me out. You know, a lot is on the news in terms of, well, what is the main topic on the news? You turn on the news, what is it? Fires out in L.A., are they not? Pretty gruesome things that are going on. Maybe you see that and you say, hey, I want to volunteer. I want to go be a firefighter. Good. You see the need. You're moved by that. That's a great thing to do. But you know what? I mean, I have fought a fire field fire one time. I was a teenager. But it's kind of a dangerous thing. You know that? A lot of people can die fighting fires, and you better kind of have an understanding of what you're doing and how to do it, and so you don't get yourself in trouble and actually put other people in trouble by you getting stuck somewhere. Do you know what a firefighter needs? They need two certifications. They also need to get an emergency medical technician, which is short for EMT. They also have to pass a CPAT, a physical ability test. And then there's also beyond that secondary fire training that needs to be done. And I'm thankful that those who work in our area, firefighters, they have all of this type of credentials to work. And they're going to do this, and they're going to come with some training and some ability to do this. And they can say, I'm ready. So I want to take you from this point of what you say, man, I'm a debtor. I got a debt. How am I going to pay it? To where you can walk over in verse 15, the Apostle Paul says this in Romans chapter 1, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you. that are at Rome also. He says, I'm ready. I'm ready. I want this to be a little bit of a congregational interaction service, all right? So maybe it's going to be, this might help pull us in and connect us to us, but throughout the service, I'm going to tell you that you, like the Apostle Paul, can say, I am ready to preach the gospel, all right? So can we all try that together? Let's just start with the word I. I am ready to preach the gospel. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Preaching is simply passing on as a herald an authoritative message that should not be altered. So we looked at that word preaching. Yes, each and every one of us are commissioned to tell other people with the authoritative message. And you and I, like the Apostle Paul, should be able to say, I am ready to preach the gospel. All right, so you kind of get what I'm about ready to do throughout this message. As we get through these points, I'm going to have an awkward pause. And I'm going to expect you to say, I am ready to preach the gospel. And I want you to say it. I know there's some out there, they're happy to let other people say it. But the point is, are you ready to say it? And as you say it, can you say it for yourself? Can you say it? I am ready to preach the gospel. That's our goal here today. And may God help us. Let's start with a word of prayer and then we're going to dive in. Dear Lord, I pray that you would just help us to know the truth of your word, so that we can say what the Apostle Paul, these very words. Lord, equip us, prepare us. This word is everything we need to make the man of God thoroughly equipped to every good work that you've given to us. Lord, we trust you. You're the trainer, and we're the pupils. Instruct us today, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Our first aspect, if you want to be ready to give the gospel, the first thing you must have is you must experience salvation. You know what? If you're going to go out and rescue somebody else, let's say someone's drowning. You jump in, but you don't know how to swim. And now you're drowning. You can't help someone. In fact, if you're going to help pull someone out of the mud, or you better make sure that your tires are on some good, hard traction, right? Your feet had better be solid on the rock before you can help others. When we were just this past week, if you went to it's been more than a week, it's been several weeks now, went to the funeral of Benji Smith, Pastor Pyle gave his testimony that he was an unsaved man, going off to college, and part of what really brought him to conviction was that he was going out on visitation to give the gospel to other people. And God began to work in his heart that he needed that saving relationship. And he got right with God and confessed his sin and gave his life to Jesus Christ and has been a preacher of the gospel in Nevada for many, many years. It's neat to hear that testimony. Paul said, I make sure of myself so that I don't preach to others and I myself become a castaway. So I'd be burdened if you're not ready to preach the gospel to others, if you have not received that gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And what's really important is, we're going to be in the book of Acts a lot today. In fact, I'd say anything else I reference outside of Acts, I'll give you a pass. You don't have to look it up. But in Acts, let's look it up. So turn to the book of Acts and turn over to chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts is before Romans, not after. That's why I'm not finding it. Okay. Acts chapter 4. Here are some preachers. Here is the early church. And what really gets me excited is in the book of Acts, you're going to find out what our mission is supposed to be, what we're supposed to be doing, and how we're supposed to do it. Everything that we need to be ready, I think, is found in this book, the book of Acts, to be ready for the gospel of Christ. And so these were just hillbillies. I mean, that's what they said. You look in chapter 4, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They recognize, hey, these guys didn't go to any formal education. They didn't go to any university. They've been at the fishing net all their lives. Boy, they've got some boldness here, though. They've got some clarity here, and they wanted to know, and they said, you've got to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. You've got to shut up. And they were adamant about this. They were going to persecute them. They were going to beat them. Verse 18. He says, they called them, commanded them that not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Why is salvation such a prerequisite for giving the gospel? Well, it is true that you need to be saved. But giving the gospel is nothing less than telling people what you've experienced. If you don't know the gospel and you don't understand the gospel, then you're not saved. But if you are saved and you are born again and you called upon the name of the Lord, then you know enough about the gospel to lead somebody else. You've got the beginning of everything in terms of a testimony. You've seen something. You've experienced something. I tell my testimony over and over and over again when I'm presenting the gospel. That's one of my favorite parts, to be able to say, this is what Jesus did for me. I'll tell it to you. I think you know it well, but I hope you hear it ad nauseum, because I'm not tired of telling it. I was a 5-year-old young man, little whippersnapper. My dad preached on hell. He was a hard preacher, probably preaching to me. I needed it because my mom and dad told me to do something. I didn't say I'll do it and didn't do it. I told them, no, you can't make me. Oh, and that didn't sit too well with my dad. I didn't sit too well with that either. I was mean to my little sister, my poor sister Abby. She put up with the ornery. I was 5 and she was 3. I had the advantage. And I took full advantage. I was mean. I was disobedient. And I knew I needed salvation. I could see myself in hell, rising on the waves, crying out for help, with no hope that I would ever escape. And the thought was forever and ever and ever. And I went to my dad, and I told my dad, I need to be saved. Yeah. Now, I knew what Jesus had done, but I didn't understand the aspect of faith. So I prayed that night with my dad. He led in a prayer. I prayed. Didn't seem like anything happened. I was still scared to death. The next night, I sinned that next day, by the way. And I began to pray again that night. Oh, Lord, please save me. I don't want to go to hell. The next night. And I remember crying in my bed. I remember that going on for almost... my memory from telling it, and I've told it many times, but so maybe back when I was closer, was around roughly 30 days. I went about a month of praying every single night that the Lord would save me. I was mean to my sister. My mom sent me down to my room. I went down there. I looked. I can still see the dresser, the wooden bookcase. I can see the picture. The dresser is probably here. It's probably way down here now. But there, it was like about like this. And I remember looking over top of it, looking at my face. And I couldn't even look myself in the mirror, because I was a sinner. It was time for me to go up the steps. I came to the steps, and I didn't have any strength to walk up. It's a little narrow from our basement. And I fell down at the bottom of those steps. And I said, God, please, I mean it, please. Come on, God, save me. God brought to me the words of His Scripture. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it was as if He spoke right through the Holy Spirit to me. And He says, Ben, if I said I will save you, I will save you. And I realized, oh, He said it, He promised, He will do it. I just have to trust Him. Amen. I believe that was the entrance of faith into my heart, because I believed. I trusted. Something drastically happened in that moment where I was guilty, where I felt no peace. I got up and every burden on my heart was lifted. I could walk up those stairs. I could jump up those steps. I was forgiven. I'm right with God. He said it. I know it. Oh, praise God. And I've been saved all my life from that day forward, because He put me in the Father's hand. I haven't always been what I should be, but I've been in the Father's hand. And He's convicted me and drawn me to Himself. I'm saved. You know what I did for you? I told you my testimony. Now, I wouldn't tell it that dramatically, maybe to every person I meet, but I'd be happy to if they listened to me. But the point is, what you do with a testimony is you tell them, what were you like before you were saved? Yeah. What was I like? What was my attitude? What was my disposition? What did I feel? What was my attitude towards God? You can just tell a few things. It's your story. You tell them what you were like. But then you tell them what Jesus did. I knew that He died on the cross for me. I knew that if I would call upon His name, and you tell Him about that moment when you believed Him, when you trusted, and then you tell Him what happened after that. How you were changed. How you've grown. You don't have to have a whole lot, but you're just that right there. What you were, what Christ did, and what you were afterwards. That's a testimony. And you can speak of the things which you have seen and you have heard. You. It's interesting. Go back to verse 13 in chapter 4. It says, they looked at these unlearned and ignorant men and they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know what the prerequisite to being a preacher of the gospel? You got to have a personal walk with Jesus. And when you walk with Him, people will know that you're not telling them about Bigfoot or Santa Claus. You're telling them about your Savior who transformed your life, who will transform them by the power of the gospel, just like He said He would do. You're a blind man who can see, and you're talking to other blind men. You're a beggar talking to other beggars about where they can find food. When you know the assurance of salvation and have experienced the joy of forgiveness and the life of God inside of you and have a personal walk with Jesus, you, like the Apostle Paul, will be able to say, I am ready to preach the gospel. Our second point is, let's turn over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. These men were supposed to testify to what God had done in Christ through the resurrection. They walked with Jesus after He was raised from the dead, but Jesus had a command for them in verse 8. In fact, this is a key verse for the book of Acts. Let you know part of the fleshing out of everything that's going to take place in this book geographically, as well as the mission and the purpose that God wants for His church. He says, verse 8, Acts 1, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Do you know what? See what you need? He says, you wait. You tarry here in Jerusalem. Don't leave, because this is an indispensable characteristic of those who are ready to preach the gospel. You must wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. See, they waited up in that upper room and they prayed, and for 40 days they waited. And on the day of Pentecost, on the 50th day, the Holy Spirit came down like a mighty rushing wind. They heard it coming through the city, and it came right to that house. And all the people followed the sound, and they came, and there were tongues of fire upon their heads, and people were exclaiming the glory of God in foreign languages, speaking. And they're like, and the Jews had come for a massive holiday. They were came from all over the world to Jerusalem. They're like, how is it that you're speaking my native language right here, and I understand you, and there's no way that you are from my backwater town way back. And they're like, this is the work of God. And they said, some people said, they're drunk. Peter said, no, I'm going to tell you what this is. This is the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, that he said he's going to pour out the Spirit of God upon all flesh in the last days. And he goes, let's just turn over to Acts chapter 2, verse 36. I'm sorry, let's look at verse 33 to understand the significance. This is important. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. Who's that? Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose of the resurrection and the death. He died, he rose again, so he'd be exalted at the right hand. And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Oh, that's a nice connection there. You see it, you hear it. The Holy Spirit. He has been poured out. Well, understand, when John the Baptist talked about Jesus, he says, I baptize you with water, but there's coming one after me who's going to die upon the cross. You see that? No. He said, there's coming one after me who's going to rise from the dead. No, we didn't talk about that. He said, there's coming one after me who will baptize you not with water, but with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. See, there's an element, there's a succession, and sometimes we focus on the cross is so needed to pay for our sins. Praise God. The resurrection to give us new life. Oh yes, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And He rose to the right hand of the Father so that He might receive the promise of the Father, so that He might fulfill His mission in pouring His Spirit upon His church so that they can continue the work that Jesus began to do. This is the power that He's talking about. And you read through the book of Acts and you're going to see that the Spirit is a major player. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. Some would say it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Some would say it's the Acts of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Spirit, through the Apostles. And all those are correct. You know what? Not only do we need this power, but because of the Spirit of God, you are ministers of the new covenant. Feel like maybe this has taken a sidestep here, but 2 Corinthians chapter 3, keep your finger in Acts, we'll come back there. I just want to, in some ways, pump you up a little bit here to understand who you are. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. He says, each and every one of you that have experienced salvation, you're like a letter. You're like a message. Yeah. But it's not that you were written down and it's on your arm. It's written not with ink, but with the Holy Spirit. He's writing out your life, through your life, a message about Jesus Christ. Not in tables of stone like the Old Testament law, that's the first covenant, but in fleshly tables of the heart, a responsive, regenerated heart to the Lord. You are a new covenant epistle, a message. And he says, and such trust, these are key words. We're going to come back to all of these type of ideas here, but they're found in this passage. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who, He's the sufficient one, He's done something here, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And he goes on and talks about how the ministration of the old covenant was glorious, but the new covenant is more glorious than the old. And this was so glorious, and yet it's put away. And yet this new covenant is ongoing, eternal, through Jesus Christ. I feel like I just want to do like David did to the old Israelites. David looked around and Goliath came out and everybody was like, I'm not going to fight him. I ain't going to do it. But David knew something. David said, does he not defy the armies of the living God? Amen. Who are we? We're weak. We're small. But we are the armies of the living God. Amen. And he's defying it. Do you know what Satan's doing? He is defying the church of the living God.
Right.
We are the able ministers of the new covenant. We are transformed by the Spirit of God. He is our sufficiency. You are able. We are of new covenant ministers. In the Holy Spirit, He will guide your speech. I know I'm appropriating this verse from another context, but Mark 13:11 says, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. True, in that context, I believe a believer can apply and appropriate that verse not only for persecution, but also for every time that you step out to speak for the Lord. And when you have the indwelling Spirit within you, transforming you and guiding your very speech through His power, you, like the Apostle Paul, will be able to say, I am ready to preach the gospel. You know what you need to have the Spirit of God? You've got to continue in prayer. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Now we've already looked at these men. They were told not to preach or speak, so what are they going to do? It's now illegal to preach the gospel in America, all right? What are we going to do? Let's do what these men did right here, all right? Verse 23. We're going to read it, verse 24, I should say. And when they heard that, that's the proclamation, kind of like Daniel, when he heard that he was not allowed to pray anymore, he went to pray. All right, so this is what they do. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. All that unity. Can you do that by yourself? Can you lift up your voice to God in one accord? I'm going to say, shake your head, no. You can only do that in a body. God's not, His mission is to use individual believers, but to use us in a body. And He wants us, there's something about, oh yeah, I want you to pray. And I want us, and we have this element here of praying individually. But I love when we get together and we pray corporately. In fact, I just make this announcement right here. We did not have our prayer time at the beginning of the month. So tonight, 5:30, right here. We will pray. Pray corporately. Pray for the Davises. Pray for missions around the world. Pray for our church. Pray for those that are in need. I encourage you to come with one accord. We're going to do what the early church did. They gathered together. And he said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and sea and all them there is. They got a big picture of God. the persecutors are small. God's big. He's the creator of it all. Who by the mouth of thy servant David had said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers are gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Do you know what psalm that's from? I know you know what psalm, but we just looked at it in Sunday school. Psalm 2. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, he's the Messiah, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, same language, when they crucified him, to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Oh, they look like they were in charge, but God had a plan, and he was not thwarted. His plan was fulfilled. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that we may be protected from any harm and any persecution, and keep us safe so that none of our bank accounts are hurt or nothing happens to us. Well, wait a second. I'm sorry. Did I get off the... what did they pray for? Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. That's all they wanted? No protection? No security? Just help us to be bold, Lord, so that we can keep on preaching. We know what the cost is going to be. Help us not to bite our lips, but speak out. Asking for the Lord by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, do you think God is putting a little asterisk beside that saying, is he not saying because they prayed? Isn't that what the Holy Spirit is teaching to us? And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Did God answer their prayer? They had a prayer meeting, and the Lord shook them. Shook the place literally. Shook their hearts. Gave them confidence in the Almighty God. And they said, this is the mission why Christ died. And we're just serving the Creator God. And we're fulfilling what God has said. We've got a part to play. God, help us to fulfill our part and our mission. And they went out and preached and spoke. And you look at the aspect of it. It was by prayer and laying on of hands that preceded Stephen's powerful witness in chapter 7. It was prayer, those who call upon the name of Jesus. It's those people that Saul went out to persecute. Because the church was known for its calling on the name of the Lord. It was prayer that preceded the raising of Tabitha. It was prayer that preceded the rescue of Peter from prison. It was prayer that preceded the gospel going to the Gentiles. It was prayer that preceded the first missionaries being sent out. It was prayer that preceded the opening of hearts like Lydia. It was prayer that opened the gates of the prison in Philippi, and the earthquake shook as they praised and prayed to God. The church and the witness of Acts is that you will not be a witness until you have the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will not have that power until you have prayed. When you have poured out your heart to God for the filling of the Spirit to go forth also in a spirit of constant prayer, you, like the Apostle Paul, will be able to say, I am ready to preach the gospel. Confess your sins. I want to tell you that if we want to have the Spirit of God working in our midst, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:30, this is just something the Lord brought to my heart, kind of in the vein, but not in a passage in Acts, but do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. How are we going to have the Spirit's power if we've got a backbiting tongue? We've got a secret lustful addiction. We've got conviction that people we're supposed to get right with, and we just won't do it. We've got idols in our hearts that just constantly are right there at the forefront of our lives, and we pay lip service to taking them down, but they're always just seem to be right there. Like Bilbo's ring, it's always right there in the pocket. We've got it. You know what? We grieve the Holy Spirit, and we don't have the power and the desire to witness for Him as we should. When you have no hidden sin, no command that you will not obey, no lingering conviction that you simply ignore, but are quick to deal with sin as the Spirit prompts, you, like the Apostle Paul, will be able to say, I am ready to preach the gospel. You know what you need to do? You need to yield your members. Place your mouth at God's service, your fingers, your hands, everything that you have, and say, I yield it to you, God. It's yours. God came to Moses and said, Moses, I got a job for you. You're going to be my messenger. I'm going to be God. You're going to be the messenger. You deliver this message to Pharaoh. Moses, blah, 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 blah. I'm not eloquent. Neither henceforth have I spoken. I am slow of speech. I'm a slow tongue. How many of you would say, I associate with Moses? Man, I don't like, you talk about witnessing to people, I go, I'm not ready. What was God's response? Who hath made man's mouth? And who maketh the dumb and the deaf and the seeing and the blind? Have not I the Lord? I've given you your abilities. And I've given you your disabilities. Can I not be with your mouth? Now you may say, well, God made Moses' mouth, but he didn't. You want to finish that sentence? You want to claim that God didn't make your mouth, then he can be with your mouth too. Do not allow your inability, your weakness, to keep you from obeying God. In fact, it's your weakness that brings glory to God when you obey him. He's not looking for eloquent speakers, because then the gospel might be in the power of your fair and fine speech. He's looking for people that are going to speak just the simple truth of the gospel so that his power can be seen. If you speak, just speak according to the oracles of God. Yeah. If you minister, do it as to the ability which God giveth. We got to get God as big in our lives and ourselves understand the little small link that we have. We've got a link in the chain, but don't magnify ourselves as if somehow it all relies upon us. When they came and saw this man leaping around, he was lame from his in the temple for 30 years, I think it was, which means Jesus saw him, never healed him. He's at this thing, and he was healed up and everything, and people came gathering, and they were so wondering. He says, the Apostle Paul, Peter, actually looked at him and says, why are you looking at us as if it was by our power that we did this? Yeah. It wasn't by our power. It wasn't by our holiness either. It wasn't anything special about us. It wasn't about our dedication. It wasn't about us. God's not condoning us in our ministry when he brings fruit. He's doing it for the glory of Jesus Christ. Yeah. We've got to have an understanding about the place of God. I'm calling us to Romans 12:1. The idea, you know that passage. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that ye present, same word, yield your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. Frances Havergal is a lady who's barely lived to 43 years of age through fragile health. She started memorizing scripture at the age of 4 and writing poems at the age of 7. She had a heart for the Lord. And she wrote a song shortly after she came with her dad was a preacher. She came to this house. The details are a little foggy to me, but there were 10 people in the house, some unsaved, some in great need of difficulty, and she began to pray and asked the Lord, said, Lord, please, would you help to use me to be a blessing to all 10? And she prayed this, Lord, give me all 10 of these people. And during the course of her stay at that house, the ones that were unsaved trusted the Lord. And the ones that were in depression or down, she saw this, and she was just so rejoicing. On the last two trusted Christ that night that she was there, she didn't sleep the whole night. And she said God just kept bringing different words to her mind, and she wrote these words down. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At thy feet, its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. Yield your members to the Lord. When you have surrendered your life to God's desire and presented your individual members to his disposals, not as your own, then you, like the Apostle Paul, will be able to say, I am ready to preach the gospel. Two more points, I believe. Maybe three. Yeah, three, but the third point's nothing. Gospel. You know what the Bible says about the warrior? He goes forth in the Lord's army. His feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know what? You need to prepare. You need to know the gospel. You need to have an aspect of which when the Apostle Paul came, he would go in, as it says, as his manner was, he went in Acts 17, he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. You don't have to know the whole Bible. You just need to know some of it. And what you know, you share it. But you know what's going to happen? God, through this whole experience of giving the gospel, you're going to come across something and say, I need to know something more about that. And it's going to cause you to study a little bit more. And you're going to know. And you are going to spend a lifetime preparing yourself to give the gospel. And there are going to be people that come to me, and I'm going to be like, I'm not sure exactly how to proceed. But that ought not scare us. That ought just get us back on our knees. Begin to pray and ask the Lord, please show me from your word. But it takes an aspect that you need to have a little bit of a plan, a little bit of preparation. That's what we did several years ago. We went through it's called the exchange, basically took through the four truths of the gospel. This is something just as simple as the Romans Road. And it's called by many different things, but there's an aspect of if someone's going to get saved, they've got to know that they're a sinner. They've got to know what kind of condition they're in, the need that they have. They need to know the punishment that's coming for sin. It's not enough just to be content. There's been those that have come down the aisle in this church, been many years ago. They said, I need to get saved. They believed that they were a sinner. We went through the gospel with them and we showed them how that because of your sin, you're going to go to hell. And they said, I'm not that bad. And they would never agree that they deserve to go to hell. They did not see sin the way God sees sin. And they're still in need of salvation today. You need to know you're a sinner. You need to know the punishment for that sin. But you need to know what God did for you in Jesus Christ. How He sent His Son, died and was buried and rose again. And then the fourth thing is, those things are wonderful things, but you got to do something about it. You got to receive the gift of God that He's given to you. And they need to understand faith, that you're receiving it by faith, believing and trusting it. That's what is imputed to you as righteousness. Your faith translates into righteousness when you believe God. They need to understand faith. So when you've studied, you've memorized some portion of the Word of God, you've got a plan to share it, you know how you're going to go through those things, that's immensely helpful. And you, like the Apostle Paul, will be able to say, I am ready to preach the gospel. Ooh, but you've got to do this as well. Be surrendered to sacrifice. When you read the book of Acts, you can't hardly read but a few pages and you come to opposition. From the beginning of Acts 2 to Acts 4 to Acts 5 to Acts 7, I mean, and all the way through, wherever the Apostle Paul is going, people are chasing him around to stop the... And if you're going to be a faithful witness of the gospel, you are going to experience opposition. Jesus said, "You count the cost. You want to follow me? You want to do what I do?" Of course, Jesus, what did he do? He went around preaching the gospel. He says, "The Son of Man has no place to rest his head." I've got no place to call my own. The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, he says, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city that bonds and afflictions abide me. And none of these things move me, neither count I myself dear unto myself, my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be people who persecute you. And he says, it doesn't bother me. I've already surrendered that long ago. I just want to finish the course that God has given. They came in Acts 21. They tried to stop you from going to Jerusalem. And he says, why do you break my heart? I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem. Jim Elliot wrote, he asked God that he would live not a long life, but a full one. He died giving the gospel at the age of 28. David Brainerd, wearied and worn, lived a rough life reaching the Native American Indians, died at age 29. Henry Martin, spending years learning Middle Eastern languages, was cut off in the bloom of his youth at the age of 32. Borden of Yale gave up a fortune to go to the Middle East, to the Muslims who did not want the gospel. He died at the age of 26. And we say, what a waste. Not from God. They honored his son's name. They were willing to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and give their life for him. When you've counted the cost and you expect opposition and have believed that you must suffer persecution for godliness, but you know that Satan cannot thwart God's message, and you rejoice at the thought that you would be counted worthy to suffer for his name, then you, like the Apostle Paul, will be able to say, I am ready to preach the gospel. And the last thing you need is confidence in God. But I'm going to spend an entire message next week on this one point. Because the next point in our message is, I am not ashamed of the gospel. You've got to have an understanding of God's ability and His willingness and His goal and His purpose in His own glory that will fuel you in the midst of the opposition so that you, like the Apostle Paul, would be able to say, I am ready to preach the gospel. Can you say it? Can you walk out those doors and look at another believer here and say, I'm ready? I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm ready to go to my neighbors. I'm ready. Are you saved? Maybe you say, I'm not ready. You need salvation. Maybe there's unconfessed sin in your life. And when the Lord was speaking on that point, you said, man, that's it. I am so cold towards evangelism because I'm still dealing with dirty, rotten sin in my life and I got to get it taken care of. Until you get it right, you'll have no effective witness. Have you yielded your members to God? Maybe the Lord put a point on that part right there and you said, you know what? I haven't yielded everything to Him. I'm still holding it back for me. Have you studied the Word? Maybe you say, I'm ready, but I don't know what I'd say. I don't know how to get one of those verses again. And where is it? I'll help you. I'll show you the Romans road. You can go through just one book of the Bible, four different verses. You can share the gospel and lead someone to Christ. Are you been diligent in prayer? Maybe you say, oh boy, what I really need to do is spend some time on my knees. I need for my life to be shaken. I need to come to grips. God needs to get a hold of me, and I know the place where He's going to meet me at. And it's in my prayer closet. But I'm there so infrequently. I have so little burden for souls. Do you have boldness in the face of opposition? It only comes by the power of the Spirit as you've sought it in prayer. Do you have confidence in God's power? Can you say, I am ready to preach the gospel? Dear Father, make us ready like the Apostle Paul. Only by your Spirit can you guide us and lead us. Lord, I pray that this, in many times we have an invitation where we anticipate that people are responding in their hearts. But Lord, I pray that you would help folks to be bold, to respond with their feet. And to come to an old-fashioned altar and ask you for the grace to do whatever is needed to make them ready to preach the gospel, Lord. I pray it in Jesus' name. I invite you to stand. We're going to sing Psalm 400, is it?
505.
5. What?
Passion for Souls.
Is that? Oh, okay. I thought it was. Let's sing 400. Yeah. Take my life and let it be. I hope that's it. I hope that we've. Okay, let's sing number 400. But if the Lord spoke to you in this message, well, I said what I'm not supposed to say. I don't say that. The Lord spoke to every one of us in this message. If you sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit, God's calling you to solidify a decision here at an old-fashioned altar. I invite you to come. We'll sing as many stanzas as needed. We'll have the piano play. And we'll just deal with let's not let the busyness of our dismissal take us away from distracting our mind from giving to the Lord our lives and to deal with what He's speaking to us. If you need to, right where you're at. If you need to pray where you're at. While you're singing, you talk to the Lord. The altar is open. 'Trust you're ready. Better watch out. It might come quick. The opportunity might be at the dinner table or at those that are serving you or seeing your neighbor tomorrow morning. You never know what the Lord will say. If I'm ready, the Lord's going to direct you. He's ready to take willing and able servants to use them for the glory of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Brother Doug Egan, would you mind closing for the word of prayer?